I imagine most of you have heard the Christmas story hundreds of times, if not more. So I don't imagine, as we read the text today, that there was much that you heard that you hadn't already come across at some point in time. And there's no facts in there that you probably couldn't recollect. If I went around and asked you to retell the story, I imagine you would cover most of the things that were conveyed in that Luke chapter 2 text. And that's not a surprise. In our culture, in the church, most of us have been exposed to Jesus' birth at some point or another. But I also think there's a lot of things, as we retell the story, that we would add that isn't actually in the Bible, that's not actually in Luke chapter 2, not actually in the 20 verses that we read. And I imagine if I asked you to recall the story, there's a few things that you would start to tell that aren't in the text. Like, maybe you would begin talking about Christmas by saying it happened on December 25th. It's not in the Bible. It doesn't say that. You probably would say that you remember a story about Mary and Joseph going door to door and knocking on all the different doors and asking if there was room. And you see this in all the Christmas plays. And what does the innkeeper say in response? There's no room in the inn. I'm sorry, we don't have space. And they go on to the next house. Again, if you looked at that text in Luke chapter 2, it's not in the text. You might remember, and we don't have a full manger scene, but you probably do in your house, and those manger scenes come with a whole bunch of animals, and those animals are usually set up around Jesus' manger, around his crib. Again, not much mention of barnyard animals in our chapter 2 of Luke. You might also think of a stable, a barn. And inside there was the manger that Jesus was born in. And now it's possible that all these things are true. It's very possible. The text doesn't say, and there were no barnyard animals present. It doesn't say that. So it's possible that these things were true. But it is interesting that as we retell these stories, that we often add particular things, and I'm not sure if it's to liven them up, but we add particular things in our memory that change what it is that the Bible actually says. Add to it. One of the funniest, I think, is we always picture Christmas with snow falling. And we're going to look at a map in a few minutes, but if you think about where Bethlehem would have been, it's highly unlikely that when Jesus was born that it was cold or snow would have been falling. They make for great pictures, but again, they aren't in our text. And we concoct lots of different silly things along with lots of different stories that we tell. And I have a couple of things that I want to show you. One is, if I were to tell you, if I were just to mention the term Xmas, and you've seen it before, and actually if you can put up that slide, I think we lost our PowerPoint person. She was in charge of the bells. But if you see this word, I imagine it creates a negative feeling in you. I mentioned it to someone as I was going through the week and preparing for this, and I mentioned the word Xmas, and I drew it out, and they looked at it, and it created this sense of anger inside of them. And the first thing they said, well, yeah, that's taking Jesus out of Christmas. That's taking Christ out of Christmas. And I've also heard, I didn't hear anybody say this week, but I've heard someone say that this is a cultural effort to completely remove Jesus from everything that we do on December 25th. Someone else had said that it's actually crossing out Jesus, and that's why they have the X. I actually control the slide. Does anybody know what this word is? This is a Greek word. It's Christos. It means Christ. Well before the United States existed, well before anyone in our culture ever used Xmas, in the church, there was an abbreviation for Christ, for the day Christ was born, and it was referred to as Xmas. Because of the Greek word for Christ begins with chi, and the T actually, often abbreviation for Christ is chi and tau. Tau is the T. And so often as abbreviation in churches and theology, they would use Xmas. And I don't tell you that to say, isn't that kind of crazy that our culture thinks Xmas is so bad or in the church we do? But I think it's interesting. It's a good example of how we take a piece of history and distort it in a particular way, and often we don't know the roots of what the history actually was. So I use that just as a simple example. And there's other things in our culture, too, for sensationalism purposes, that we distort things. We try to make them more exciting. One thing that Dane and I have noticed in recent months is if you watch any of the major news networks, all 24-hour news networks, I don't care if it's CNN or Fox News, you pick whatever you want, but they always run these bulletins across the screen that say breaking news, urgent news. And it's for anything. I mean, Paris Hilton breaks a heel and it's breaking news and they're flashing and you think there's some major crisis. You often, when there's weather, they'll do a major crisis, urgent news, clouds have covered up the sun, it's cloudy day. And before you know it, you come to be desensitized to this. So there's a natural part of our culture that likes to add things to truth, likes to make them a little bit more exciting. And so my goal tonight, and we're not going to take a bunch of time, but my goal tonight is to help us to understand that this story, the Christmas story, is not just a story. But we need to understand as a historical reality. Because often when we create these nice little pictures and these nice little atmosphere and add barnyard animals and cute little cuddly innkeepers that are denying them to come in, all these types of things, we're kind of distorting what actually happened, what the Bible tells us. So to help us put this into some historical reality, there's a couple things I want to show you. The first one's a map. In this text, what we hear is that Joseph and Mary, and I hope all of you can see this, but Joseph and Mary were in Nazareth, and they took a trek all the way down to Bethlehem. And what we know about the geography, it's probably 90 miles or so. It would have taken them a good week to make this trek. So it's not just, you know, down the street they go a little ways, but they've taken a serious trek before they ever get to Bethlehem. And the text says that they go to Bethlehem because a census is being done, because this is Joseph's hometown. They have to return to his hometown, Bethlehem, in order to be counted, included in the census. So they make this trek. It's important for us to understand, though, that these are not mythical places, but they exist. They still exist today. This is kind of a more modern-day map of the area. So Nazareth would be up here. It's off the map, but it's in modern-day Israel. Jerusalem, which we've talked about a lot in recent weeks, is in sermons I've talked about, is right here on the side of Israel. And then this is the West Bank, and over here is the Gaza Strip, which you hear all the time in the news. Well, the West Bank is a Palestinian territory. Bethlehem is actually in the West Bank. And so this is part of, you hear disputes all the time about this in the news, about the Palestinians battling with Israelis. And this is the geography of where this all exists today. So this is a real place, exists in time. Interesting place right here. The Bible tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. This church is in Bethlehem. This is called the Church of the Nativity. And this church is believed by historians, and this is difficult for us to prove affirmatively, definitively, but this is called the Church of the Nativity, and historically it was built on the site where people believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. One of the fascinating things about this, this is the main entrance. Doesn't seem like a big deal at all. This is the main entrance. It seems kind of unimportant and not very noticeable, but the entrance to the Church of the Nativity. It's called the Door of Humility. I added the picture with this guy, that's not me, but I added a picture of a guy standing next to this door because now you can see why it's called the Door of Humility. Because in order to get into this church, the Church of the Nativity, you have to bend down and kind of stump through as you go through. And if you look, it's difficult to see in this picture, but around here is an arch. And so basically they filled in this door because there was a time in history where people just kind of bust in there. They're irreverent. They didn't take it seriously. They didn't really think about how important it was that Jesus was born in this spot. So they put in this door of humility so people would take it seriously. This is inside the Church of the Nativity, and this is the exact spot where they believe that Jesus was born. Again, we don't know for sure that this was the case. There's no pictures. We don't have any live YouTube videos to help us understand that that's where Jesus was born. But I want to show you all these things simply so that you understand that what we hear about in Luke chapter 2 is history, a real place. We could fly over there right now and walk where Jesus walked, where Joseph and Mary walked. Christmas is essentially a birthday party, and that's what we talked about with the kids. It's essentially a birthday party celebrating this birth of Jesus. And often when we celebrate birthdays, it's important for us to understand that what we're celebrating isn't the actual birth. So when I throw a birthday party, we don't all get together and talk about what we did as a baby. We don't all say, oh, in memory of your birthday, let's cry again, let's wear bibs, let's do all the things we did as an infant. Our birthdays are significant because of what we become later on in life. Our birthdays, the reason that our friends come isn't because they thought we were a fantastic baby. It's because they know us now. They've gotten to know us. That's my daughter, I guess. So our birthdays are important because of what we become. It's the same for Jesus' birthday. There are lots of people that were born the same time that Jesus was born, but we aren't still celebrating their birthday. We're celebrating Jesus' birthday, not because his birth was unbelievable, but because what he did and who he was unbelievable. So why was he unbelievable? He was unbelievable because Mary and Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds, all those people we hear in the Christmas story, the Jewish people throughout history, all were told by God that he was to be the Messiah. He was to be the one that was to come. And he showed up. And after he was born, we remember his birthday, we celebrate Christmas because he performed miracles. He claimed to be God. So we can turn this into a nice little story. We can celebrate it with family. We can give presents. We can read a nice story. But all of this is history. It actually took place. And that matters, and it should matter to you because of what Jesus said after he grew up, after he began his ministry. And what he said was that all of us, all people, must come and follow him. We can't treat Christmas just like another holiday, because the object of this holiday called us to something, called us to do something. And each of us, you are a part of this story. You can read yourself quite literally into the Christmas story. If you were to open up your Bibles and look at Luke chapter 2, and I'll read it. It's verses 10 and 11. And what Luke says is this: I bring you good news of great joy, and he's quoting here. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The Messiah, the Lord. Our part in the story is what we do now. What we do right now, today in 2008, now that we've had this good news. Now that Jesus Christ has come. There's no middle ground. This is real. And we have to do something with what Jesus claimed and what Jesus called us to do. There's no middle ground. This little baby grew up to say later, and this is in Luke 2, right out of the words of Jesus, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. This Savior, this Messiah born today, was born for you and calls each of us to do something in response. God has extended his arms, quite literally, to us, and extended a gift to us. And we have a choice. Whether we push that away, or whether we say, I have to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I can't come to the party. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. When Jesus extends his gift of love to us, we often have a lot of excuses. But God has called us to accept that gift. How do we accept that? How do we receive it? But I think we have to ask ourselves these questions. Will you confess your sins? Will you turn away from them? Will you turn towards God? Will you believe that God has forgiven you? Will you spend your life loving God, but not just loving God, but loving all those around you, in your family, in your community, even those people that aren't lovable? Will you devote your life to making sure that your friends and family know this gift that Luke says was offered to all people? Will you help them to understand that they too can receive this gift? Will you live your life as if the Christmas events are not just a nice story, but are real and true to you today? Again, it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, all of us, those here now and those that have never entered a church their entire life. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Because Jesus has come, we do not have the choice to ignore it. We either make a choice to run away, we come up with excuses and deny what Christ has called us to, or we receive that gift. We receive His forgiveness, we receive His love, and then we live a life where we're continually trying to be more obedient disciples. Studying God's Word, spending time with God in prayer, and loving our community. Loving each other. Not so that we may feel good about ourselves, but so we may reveal to others this same gift that we have accepted, understood, and come to trust. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your gift. We thank you that Jesus came. We're amazed that Jesus came into our flesh, that he put on our skin and became human, so we might understand you better, so that we may never have an excuse to say that he doesn't know what it's like to be human, so that we may never have an excuse not to accept his free gift to us. Lord, if we haven't made a commitment, if we haven't thus made a choice, help us to grow closer to you. Help us to accept the gift that you offer us. And Lord, if we have, help us to be more obedient. Help us to grow in discipleship. And help us to grow in strength and confidence to tell others about what it is that we've received, so others may see that this Messiah has been born, that this good news is not just for us, but it's intended for all people. And everything we pray in your name, amen.